As promised, we're joined right now by a five-time Pro Bowl player, seventh in NFL history in receiving yardage, seventh in league history in all-purpose yardage, 12th in league history in receptions. He is an NFL Network analyst, and you can see him every Sunday on Good Morning Football weekend at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. We are joined right now by Steve Smith Sr. Steve, great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Rome? Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Doing great, Mr. Smith. Great to have you back. Always good to talk to you. Where to start, sir. Steve? Let me start with Earl Thomas. He broke his leg in yesterday's game. He appeared to flip off the sideline as he was carted off the field. First,
appear would not be the accurate statement.
He flipped him the bird. Oh, man, he did. All right, so let me ask you this. I correct myself or you correct me. Have you ever seen a guy do that before? And what's your take on the entire situation in Seattle?
So here's everybody you watch and listen to. I just finished doing that fat man workout. So I'm just sitting on the treadmill and just walking and looking at stuff. And it's working out well for me. But everybody's saying, how can he make that obscene gesture? Why did he do that? See, people are missing things. In the media sometimes, which I remove myself from being a media guy, and I try to look at it as a player. And the one thing that I noticed, that think about this, Joe. He flips him off, and everybody's going crazy. But let me ask you, when has the last time you've seen a franchise, high-paid, Pro Bowl player get injured? They have to put an air cast on his leg. Who stayed on the sideline, though? See, the headline said he's flipping off the sideline. When has a player been injured and you have not seen the head coach come out on the field and look to see how his player is doing? The Arizona Cardinals patted him on the back. Larry Fitzgerald came off the sideline. Everybody came on off the sideline except an important person for the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll. He wasn't flipping off the sideline. He was flipping a bird to Pete Carroll. And hence why Pete Carroll, right after the game is over, in the wind, he says, we're putting him on IR. It's a severe injury. When has broken legs been that severe where you have a prognosis of he is immediately no longer available for the remainder of the season? Usually that information comes out Monday morning, you know, Monday afternoon, Sunday night. Hell, the game was already over, and they decided that they're not designating him for an IR return. So that just lets you know the dysfunction of that organization. And you look at all the departure of people of influence on that team. Richard Sherman, gone. Now, Earl Thomas, all his situations, gone. All these guys are leaving. There's a thing going on, and guess what? It's not the players. You know, and that's one of the things that I find it funny and interesting that people are missing. It wasn't the sideline. It was to a particular person.
Steve Smith Sr., my guest, I want to be very clear about this. I had no issue, no problem with it at all. I mean, I understand why he's upset. This is why he didn't want to come in. This is why he wanted a contract, because something like this could, in fact, happen. I know exactly who that was for. That was for Pete Carroll. That was for the front office. That was not for his teammates. I mean, the guy was obviously extremely frustrated. So, Steve, bottom line, Bobby Wagner made the point after the game, if Thomas doesn't play, people will say he's selfish and a bad teammate. But if he does play and he gets hurt, they'll say that he shouldn't have played. In your opinion, what should Thomas have done?
Well, Thomas did what Le'Veon Bell is not doing. He came and reported to camp and played it out and tried to work it out amicably, and it's not working out. And end result is why he got injured. And it's, you know, and I hate using that word, where injuries are part of the game. So is death in a car. But that doesn't mean when you wake up and drive your kids to school that you anticipate getting in a serious car accident. So I'm sick of people utilizing that as an excuse. And to say, you know the tragedy. You also know you could cut off your damn finger cutting a ham and cheese sandwich, too. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we push it aside and we don't really address it. Guys want security. Our game is so big and so well run right now. But one of the things that is not secure is financial. You look at some of these other organizations and other teams and other sports teams, these players guaranteed contracts, max contracts for certain players, and then other players, they don't. And it's helped the salary cap. The NBA has a stronghold on not overpaying too many players, and the players that are middle of the road, they get a average contract, and when teams decide to sever the relationship, it doesn't hamstring or cripple the salary cap for that team. NFL is running into that problem, but they also are having guys now who are coming out of college, whether we like it or not, that are brands, who are looking at it as a business, who want to be entertainers, who are diversifying themselves in other areas of the game and the business. And so it's all benefiting everyone, but it's very little guaranteed contracts. And the Le'Veon Bell.
Steve. All right, I found him. I got a few more moments. Steve, good to have you back. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Steve, you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, so let me get your thoughts on that. What do you think that he thought as he saw what happened to Earl Thomas? Do you expect to see him in uniform at some point this season, or could you see him sitting out the whole year?
I can see him coming back week 8. And then after that, he goes ahead and gets, you know, they mess around with him. They'll say this, they'll say that. And then he'll play week 10, and he'll become a free agent, and he'll recoup the money that he lost from all those other teams, because free agency is like a marriage. You only got to convince one person to like you. And as you've seen with Khalil Mack and other people, you know, teams make decisions earlier on. They start to look at their offseason. They start to make decisions who they want going into free agency. Hence, Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Jets, they offered them more money, but the Minnesota Vikings got them. So teams already know who they want going into the offseason. So I would agree that he will probably go somewhere else, because you can see that the Steelers are moving on. That's why they drafted James Conner. And he's a pretty decent running back. He's no Le'Veon Bell, but he's a guy of the future.
And all it takes is one big yes. Now, you spent some time with Baker Mayfield for a segment, and you told him that he looked like, quote, a substitute teacher, which I thought was a great line. What do you make of him as a guy, and then how might that translate into him being a leader, an effective leader?
He is an effective leader because he is well-traveled. He's experienced in adversity. Some of these guys, like a Josh Rosen, he has experience in adversity. You know, he's up at UCLA. It's nice. You living out there in California, man. UCLA, they a lot of adversity up there, you know, right now.
Right.
So they got the sun. They may get some rain. But Baker Mayfield has been – he's a walk-on. He transferred. He had to sit out. You know, he had to learn. One of the things that was really cool to watch at the combine, he was very accurate. And you can see he's a gunslinger. He knows how to put the ball. The only thing with that team that they need to learn how to do is handle the pressure and finish out games. They're a young team. They're very excited to watch. But at the end of the day, they're just a young team that really needs some experience.
Got a couple more minutes with Steve Smith Sr. Steve, you had a great piece, I thought, for NFL.com in September that broke down 5 keys to making it in the NFL as a player. And the first one was knowing how to take care of your body. When you first came into the NFL, how much did you know about that?
I didn't know anything about it. And I had to learn. You know, you go from college, they try to help you out. But the NFL is a little bit different. You have the whole offseason. There is no offseason as a rookie, because you're going to training camp. I mean, you're going to combines. You're doing personal workouts. You're visiting teams. You're doing all that stuff. They're poking and prodding you. Then you go to the draft. Then after the draft, they have a rookie mini camp. Then after a rookie mini camp, if your school is out early enough, you have OTAs, organized team activities. Then you have a little bit of week off. And then you go to training camp. They have rookie training camp. You do training camp. You go through the season, hit the playoffs. All of a sudden, January is you're done. Man, as a young man, you don't know what's going on. Your body's like, hey, we're usually done by now. So that part is tough. And so I had to learn over time. I had to learn what my body needs, how it needs to, what foods work for me, what foods don't. Coming from California to the South,
Man, you know, my family's from New Orleans and up north, Northern California, and we used to barbecue. But, man, when I got to North Carolina, there's some barbecue out here. I got a little heavy in off-season, you know, eating fried chicken and some good ribs and stuff like that. So I had to really learn how to really manage my body and my time. So that all was something that was new to me.
Steve Smith, my guest. Steve, one more thought. That's funny about that. But you also wrote a really powerful piece about your personal battle with depression. I had Brian Dawkins, Steve, on the show recently, and we talked about his decision to share his battles with depression. What was it like for you to talk openly about that and share it?
Well, one thing that I saw that people automatically assume that I'm doing an article because, as some people say, my money's funny, and I'm looking to prove something. I'm going to tell you right now, my money ain't funny. I'm good. I wrote the piece because everybody believes, and I start off by talking about Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. Those people are very influential, and everybody knows them and sees them. Kate Spade, obviously, she does coach, and you see the impact and a financial wherewithal that she has. But at the end of the day, money cannot make you happy. And I just struggled with it most of my career, and I didn't realize what it was until I got retired. And I started seeking help I just don't feel satisfied, and I can't figure out why. And started going through and started reliving my days of playing and how I handled adversity and success. And I always second-guessed everything about my career. And one of the coolest text messages I got when I wrote the article was from my actual counselor. And he said, man, we've come a long way from that first meeting at your house. And I had him come to my house because the stigma of counseling and what that looks like and what people would assume. Now when I walk in my counselor's office, I'm not afraid or worried about who sees me, because for me, I'm saying, hey, I don't have it all together, and it's okay. And I'm fine with that. And I'm seeking help, and I'm at a place right now. I'm 39 years old. I got a beautiful wife. I got four great kids. And I finally, for the first time, have freedom. And I'm okay with being in my own skin. I don't have to be something or act like something I'm not. I could be okay. And it's been, you know, I'm at peace, and it's been cool to experience.
My man, I could not respect or admire that any more than I do. And I really appreciate you sharing that. Remember, you can see Steve Thursday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day kickoff at 6 p.m. Eastern, ahead of the Colts Patriots on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. You can see him every Sunday. Also,
Showtime now.
Showtime now. Tell me.
Inside the NFL.
Oh, dude, I will be honest with you. I did not know that. That is awesome. That is a great show, and especially a great show for you to work on. What are you going to do for them?
I'm in the Inside the NFL, so it's Boom, Ray Lewis, the demigod himself, and Phil Sims, JB, James Brown, who's an awesome host, and then this caramel light-skinned brother right here is on there as well. I'm on there about 9 to 10 shows, and so I'm having fun, but I'm learning from these guys, and it's been pretty remarkable to work for NFL Network and just get the opportunity to learn how to be an analyst, not to just talk about wide receivers, but to talk about offense, defensive line, and all that stuff. And this is my second year, but I'm really enjoying the opportunity that I have, and I hope I'm giving viewers an opportunity to laugh, smile, and also think a little bit, just like what I was telling you about Earl Thomas. And just don't assume what you see of that man is just you get what you see. But sometimes you've got to understand these athletes are a little bit deeper than some. Some have a shallow pool, but some are 20 feet deep. And listen, I hope you take the time to understand
that. I say it, Steve. I'm sorry to jump in. I say it all the time. We don't really know any of you guys, and there's something to that. Some of the guys who you think are not good guys are the best guys. Some of the guys who you think are the best guys are not the best guys. But that's a great group for you, Steve. Couldn't be more proud of you. You're killing it. Steve Smith Sr., hate to jump in, my man. I'm getting all sorts of pressure to get the hell out of this segment. You know, you might not be a member of the media, but you work in TV now. See how that goes. Steve Smith Sr., as good as he's ever been, my thanks to him. I got to get out. Time now for a sports update. Here you go.